Now, listen carefully as I tie this all together, I think, nicely. Coming up on August 11th, and we're excited to once again be able to do this, and actually it's a month-long campaign, really all through the month of August. It's our back-to-school Bucks drive, but we've added a twist. We've added and books this year. We're partnering with the Boys and Girls Club of the Greater Chippewa Valley and with Literacy Chippewa Valley, and we're also partnering with Chilson Subaru, and that's where we're going to be August 11th from 6 to 10 a.m., and we'll have auction items and all kinds of fun. Take your donations that morning to raise money for school supplies. Put them in the backpacks to send the kids back to school with the supplies they need for education. So we're going to do that. We've added to it this year the books part of it, in which I know it's an ambitious goal, but if you don't have ambitious goals, what kind of goals are you going to have, right? I'm going to, with your help, and I need your help because I can't do this by myself. I really need your help. I'm going to attempt to collect between 790 AM and 1051 FM books for young kids, young childhood books. We're really looking for the books that get the kids started the right way. 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old. You got to start them early. I've got somebody that's going to attest to that in a big time way in just a moment. But if you can get that on your calendar, we're going to have auction items. Silver Spring Foods, once again, has one of the great gift bags. Visit Eau Claire is going to have a gift basket that we'll be able to auction off. We've got goodies from the Cavaliers, from the Blue Golds, from the Eau Claire Express, Mycon Cinemas. The list goes on and on. I've got some books we're going to auction off, some autograph books. I believe we even have some goodies from the Republican National Convention, believe it or not, that are going to be donated as well.
Cool.
As another auction item as well. So there's a lot of great things up for grabs on August 11th. Joining us in the studio now is Heidi Taylor Eliopoulos, the superintendent of schools in Chippewa Falls. We can start with that. You obviously know how important it is for especially young kids to read and be read to. You know, I shared this earlier, and I'm going to share it again. Brian Westray, who regular caller of the program and 3rd District Republican Party chair, and I've been asking people throughout the area what their favorite childhood book was. And he tells the story of his dad reading The Hobbit to him at age 6 and him going back and reading it at age 8 and continuing to read it every 3 or 4 years. You go back and you revisit these books. I have, for instance, in my case, Stuart Little is my favorite book and the one that really got me started. And I now have, and I don't want to give up any of them, I have about 7 copies of Stuart Little in different forms. And I go back and I probably read it once a year, at least, if not a couple times a year, just to be reminded of what a neat story and how that brought me to reading. And I think at that point, I was probably a little late to the game. I probably was reading that when I was in maybe 2nd or 3rd grade, you know, and that's when I discovered, wow, reading can open up your world.
Absolutely. I can tell the same story about the Little House on the Prairie series that I finished for the first time in 2nd grade. And you're right. Reading to children when they're little is invaluable, and then transitioning towards them reading to the adults, to their dog, to their teddy bear, to anyone who will listen, so to say, that's invaluable from as early as we can.
And as I like to say, our friend Luke Anthony, who's on the program as well, when he was in, I don't know, about 2nd or 3rd grade, you were reading what, the life history of Estes Kefauver, no doubt. Yes.
I believe so, probably.
The political books early on.
I was reading the the party platform of the Whig Party convention from 1852, actually.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, whatever you start reading on,
I still got a B minus in the book report, too.
Now, let's switch to things a little more germane to what we're going to be talking about this morning, and that's a great deal of school issues in Chippewa Falls. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, probably in everybody's mind, is the referendum and where things move from there and how some adjustments have come about with regard to this. Last time you were on, we talked a little bit about, well, I think we're going to go back to the community and we're going to find some more out. We're going to do some listening sessions and we're going to find out what do we really need, what can we accomplish, what does the community want? And you think you've got a better idea now of which direction to go forward with?
Absolutely. The board just actually finished its 3rd feedback poll from the community. They adopted their work plan in February. And so they sought to understand the needs by reading the facilities audit and touring the buildings. They began with some broad brainstorming and costing of some potential solutions and are continuing to narrow and narrow and narrow based on the feedback from the community. We're fortunate in that the community has really engaged with us and has given us feedback, which is going to help them with their decision making.
It wasn't the number alone, though. The number was big. The number was huge, and the sticker shock was there.
Yes.
But as you dug deeper, you found out, you didn't have to dig that deep, actually. The public came out and said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. If you're talking about building a new high school and you're talking about eliminating elementary schools, mm-hmm. that's some pretty big steps for any school district to take on.
Correct. Probably one of the most emotional things a community does is when it makes a decision to close a building or change a building.
Yep.
Absolutely. So some of those factors in the original committee recommendation were things that raised concerns. And so the board heard that feedback and has made adjustments accordingly. In addition to that, the very first survey they did, they asked about the community values, and the community identified things that were important or extremely important to them that the board should consider when they start making these plans moving forward.
Talking about moving forward and seeing things, I took my in-laws on a little road trip over the weekend. We went to see the Nina and Pinto, which is now down in La Crosse, but it was over in Lake City over the weekend. Then we scooted back up to my hometown of Red Wing. Mm-hmm. And I gave them a little tour of town. They've been through there before, of course, but not with me, to kind of say, well, here, and whatever. And we pointed out my old high school, mm-hmm. which is now turned into apartments over there in downtown. And while there is a sadness that I have for that, and they noted that, too, well, that's too bad. I said, well, it is and it isn't. I'll tell you why. Have you seen the new high school?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what progress is all about. And being a graduate of Red Wing, and a proud graduate of Red Wing Central High School, I'm glad that's a progressive school district that realized You got to think for the future. You got to move forward here. They were outgrowing their space in downtown and a lot of other issues. They had to invest in that. And I think you're starting to see some of that. You've been, Chippewa has had an interesting background in that you follow, to some degree, or have, a little bit of the theory that a lot of Minnesota, especially upper Minnesota campuses have, that in that you've created this educational campus. Mm-hmm. Altoona kind of had it going. You have a similar sort of thing that a lot of your schools, major schools located in one area, not all districts are able to do that.
Correct. Yes. We have one of our six elementary schools, our middle school and our high school, and then the parochial school are actually all within a few blocks.
Exactly.
So the West Campus, the West Hill has a campus feel in Chippewa Falls.
Yeah, it does. But because of that, you sometimes outgrow the space. You sometimes need to make some changes. In the proposals for the referendum, what stays and what goes? Mm-hmm. What was there and what have you altered along the way here to say, we're not going to do that?
Right. The board is really narrowed down to two possible approaches. One deals with the conditions of the oldest building, specifically Stilson Elementary School, and the other prioritizes space needs. So in one option, they're looking at rebuilding Stilson in a similar or near location, as well as adding on some additions and doing some maintenance work across the buildings. The second option builds a new high school, not for the purpose of having a new high school, but to free up space issues in seven buildings. So by building a new high school, moving the 912 students to that new building, the 68 students to the current high school, Hillcrest to the middle school, the alternative school and central office to the current Hillcrest building, it actually frees up space across seven programs. So we're really looking at conditions first, conditions of the oldest building first, or space needs first.
Which is one of the toughest sells there is, because it's the who moved my cheese sort of thing. It's to the public, I don't want to say they don't understand, that's not the point, but they don't always see why you're doing that. There's a new brand new high, why do they need a brand new high school? Well, that's not exactly what this is about. Mm-hmm. There's much more underlying things that need to be taken care of. By fixing this part, you actually fix a lot of other problems.
Right, it's a domino effect.
Yes.
You build one building instead of adding on to seven different places.
With Stilson, two things that mm-hmm. are kind of going with Stilson, and one is both condition of the building, mm-hmm. obviously, is an important thing, and looking at that and what you do with that, but also how that population is being served. You are talking about an area that, of course, and I don't blame them one bit, is going to be very defensive mm-hmm. about that school, because that ultimately is a neighborhood school that a population has grown up with, and they want their kids to grow up around it. They don't want to lose that school.
Yep, absolutely. And we understand that completely, that what makes Stilson special are the people and the culture and the experiences and the history, not the bricks and mortar. But we also want to respect people's connection to the bricks and mortar. That way, if we look at rebuilding Stilson, we can actually really look at three different options. We could rebuild it on its current site so it stays in the neighborhood. We own land 3 miles away, which has a completely different feel. Or we could also look for a larger parcel of land closer to the original site. So we have some couple of options because we want to honor those feelings of that portion of our community.
In the pushback you've received, have you had anybody that has pushed back and said, don't do a referendum, just stay away from it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people, when you start out in any community with a referendum, you have people who are going to support anything you put out there, and you have people who wouldn't vote for a dollar, and everything in between. So absolutely, we have people who say, you know what, figure it out, make it work. I don't want my taxes to go up. And we respect those opinions, too. That's why it's a democratic process with a vote.
All right. Here's what, and this is somewhat a democratic process here. We try with the Wisconsin Credit Union Hotline. You could call us at 715-836-9299. That's 715-836-9299. Here's where I come off a little bit like a school teacher and scolding, and I don't mean to. But here's the point. Heidi Taylor, Eliopoulos, Superintendent of Schools, Chippewa Falls, is here right now. You can ask her the questions directly. Mm-hmm. We like it when you do. She can give you an answer directly. What I don't particularly care for, and this is my scolding part, is I don't particularly care for, you know, Thursday or Friday. You know what? You should have asked her, and you really should have done this. And you should. Listen, be your own bulldog. I don't have to be your bulldog. You're fine. You're good at it. You can be really good at it. Be your own bulldog. You don't need me to carry your water. You could do it. So call us at 715-836-9299. That's 715-836-9299. To be fair to Heidi, by the way, be your own pussycat, too. I mean, you can be nice. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be a bulldog. Back with more in just a moment, and we'll hear from Bob, and we'll hear from Luke here as we talk some more school issues on 105.1 WYYY. WYYY with John and Bob and Luke. And Luke has a question for Heidi Taylor Eliopoulos, the Chippewa Falls Superintendent of Schools. Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, where would the high school actually be?
That's a great question, Luke. So right now there are three parcels of land that are large enough in Chippewa Falls that they would be able to accommodate a new high school. One is near County Highway N, which is north of the current middle school at the end of Bridgewater. Some benefits there is that it is still that West Hill location that the community appreciates, this campus feel that we have on the West Hill. The drawback of it is access. It's very close to 53, but it does not have access and traffic flow. That's one of the complaints about the West Hill right now, is the amount of traffic. A second area is there is acreage available in the current industrial park. A benefit there is that there is significant acreage available for future expansion. A drawback is that it is a greater distance away from the current location where the middle school and elementary would be.
And correct me if I'm wrong, is that on the north or south side of the Chippewa River?
That would be on the north side.
North side. It's kind of that big open space.
Yes.
Kind of where the hospital and kind of in that area.
Correct. Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yep. Great question. The third piece of acreage is a parcel owned by the state currently that's in close proximity to Premium Waters. And again, that's away from the West Hill location as the drawback. A benefit there is there's some opportunities for growth in Chippewa Falls. Putting a new high school there could spur some growth and development there. And another benefit is that there's good access there. So there's three parcels right now.
And what are the roads nearby the Premium Waters?
That would be like near Seymour Cray Boulevard.
Okay, got
it.
In that area. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, access is a great point, especially when you're talking with regard to a high school.
Yes.
You know, talk to, not necessarily the bus drivers that go there on a regular basis, talk to a visiting bus driver
yes.
that is bringing a team in or out. There's not exactly an easy way to get to Chi High. You know, it's just, it doesn't work that way. They figure it out, and GPS helps and all that, but it's, whereas if you had something that had a little easier access,
I mean, I can say as someone who used to substitute teach up there and is, and occasionally will go up there around those times, my gosh, that area is an area I want to avoid when there's a lot of traffic earlier in the day or later in the school day, obviously, when they're coming in and coming out. So part of my motivation, and granted, not a Chippewa Falls resident, but if I were a teacher there and having done that before, boy, I'd like an area where there's a wide open space for road access.
Yeah, and how about we hear from a Chippewa Falls resident who certainly knows the traffic there and knows a lot of different things. Rick from Chippewa is with us. Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Rick. You with us? You were. Thought he was there. Rick, you still with us there, Rick? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good, good. Wanted to make sure you were there. You're on with Heidi Taylor, Eliopoulos. Go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Eliopoulos, thanks for coming on. I live on the West Hill. I live 3 blocks from the high school.
Yeah.
Here's my concern. Here's my concern with both option A, both option B.
Mm-hmm.
Either one, my school taxes would go up over $200. I'm also a regular attendee to the city council meetings in the city of Chippewa. The city of Chippewa has borrowed about $12 million this year for the new fire station, for the new downtown park. We're taxed out, and I can see a big increase. They're not saying it down at City Hall, but I can see a tax increase coming. So if that does happen, my house, about $140,000 worth, my taxes, total taxes would probably go up to be about $400 additional to what I paid last year. And another thing about our high school, you know, people that come here, this is a fairly newer high school. This is a beautiful high school. I know people that have been here and think that this high school was built less than 5 years ago. I don't know. All the schools, about, I think it's almost 20 years old for the Chi High. So I don't know why can't we add on if we have to, or I don't know. I just look at the tax implications. We don't have a big, and you're from the local area. I know your dad was with the fire department. We're not a big rich area here. People think we're rich with Irvine Park's addition, but that was all private donation down there. So I got the perception that people think, okay, we got a lot of pockets in here. I don't know. That's my big concern is
what will happen with your tax dollars?
And then the city of Chippewa will be raising because we borrowed about $12 million already so far this year for projects. So that's my concern, and thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, Rick. Thank you very much for calling in as well. And that's something that is absolutely part of the conversation that the Board of Education has had, is they're trying to find the balance between what referendum amount will meet the needs of the district and be considerate and acceptable to the community. Because we know that if we pass a referendum, it does directly impact folks' taxes. So I appreciate that point of view very much. And I would agree with you that Chi High was actually built in the 1960s, and we're very proud of the hard work of our maintenance and building and grounds crew into keeping it, maintaining it, and keeping it a beautiful school for us. So thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
So that's like over 50 years old, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's been around a while.
Yeah.
Let's go with Bob. Now, Bob's got some questions this morning. Go ahead, Bob.
I don't want to take you too far off topic of the referendum, but let's face it, in a little over a month, school's going to be starting here, mm-hmm. Heidi. What's the status as far as teachers in the classroom? You got all your classes filled, or have you lost teachers to other schools? Have you lost some to industry? Have you lost them to retirement? Where are you standing right now for instructors?
We're in great shape in Chippewa Falls. Across the state, across the country, we're experiencing a teacher shortage. We've been so fortunate in Chippewa Falls to still be attracting and retraining exceptional teachers. So we had 45 teachers eligible to retire this school year. And since last spring, since February at the announcement time, we've had about 12 leave. And we're still already almost at full strength. There's different factors that are causing folks to leave. Retirement probably being the number one. But sometimes things happen with your spouse's job and you have to move to a different geographical location. We're so fortunate that we've been able to retain great teachers in Chippewa Falls. I feel very lucky.
How, when you need teachers, you know, you got teachers that are going to leave on maternity leave, mm-hmm. or whatever. Is it easy to, you know, when you do have retired teachers that stay in the community, is it easy to bring them back and call up and say, hey, John, can you come in and teach the social studies class or the chemistry class again like you used to? Is it that easy to do?
No, actually, newly, we have a challenge with that within the last 2 years, that when we bring a retiree back, if they work over 30 hours, they go back into active status. And so that changes things with their benefits, with their retirement benefits, and that's posed a new challenge for us. So we're having a harder time finding qualified long-term subs. Fortunately, we do have a strong pool of subs of people who that's what they want to do, is they want to sub as opposed to taking long-term jobs. But that pool's a lot smaller now that we're not able to access some of our retirees.
Is that a state law?
It's a new regulation that was in place, I want to say 2 years ago. I'd have to research the exact date on it for you.
All right. Thank you, Bob, for those questions there. And again, you're in one of those fields. I would put ourselves in the same boat here, too, and that is with an educator, you want to be careful that we're not clock watching.
Right.
That you don't have somebody that's literally, you know, they're at the 29-hour mark, and you're like, wow, you know, we got to clock watch it now. Mm-hmm. I hate that because mm-hmm. sometimes the job requires more. I don't want to be put in that position myself where I'm going, well, gee, I'd like to do some more, but I got to leave because law makes me leave. That mm-hmm. that you know, that's not always the best. Speaking of new hirees and whatnot, which is new positions or finding somebody for a position, you just hired, just named a new activities director there. And believe it or not, just to kind of follow up on Rick's point there, actually, Mike Thompson went to the school when it was open, you know, in 1997. So he's a Chi-High grad.
He sure is.
Yeah,
he is a member of the class of 1997. So we're happy to have a local guy who's very committed and cares about our community in that position.
Does this, in effect, is the activities director, is that what was known in the past as an athletics director?
That position has evolved
okay.
over time. I would say it's evolved. There's always that management piece of schedules and officials and things like that. But it's really evolved. For one thing, our activities have grown so much. We have swimming and soccer and golf, and the high school has an equestrian team and all these various clubs and activities, show choir, jazz band, wire choir, more activities than certainly when the school opened and there were two sports. But even since the 90s when I went through the system, the programs have evolved, and this is a big job that he's taken on.
And I'm thinking this also helps to abate some of the so-called turf wars, you know, that there is, that's been going on for years, where, you know, there's a conflict over use of an auditorium, over a gym, over a field, and the last thing you want is the stand down between the football coach and the show choir director,
right.
And you know, in there, or a theatrical director mm-hmm. or something, and they're in each other's face. You have somebody to kind of sort that out, mitigate that, get it all figured out of scheduling and how this is all going to work. We're going to come back with more in a moment. Your questions as well at 715-836-9299. Luke, I believe you have another question. We'll get to that in just a moment. The Wisconsin Credit Union Hotline is open here at 105.1 WYYY. WYYY, John Murphy and Bob Osel, Luke Anthony, and Heidi Taylor, Eliopoulos, Chippewa Falls Superintendent of Schools. As you were going, jumping back to the mm-hmm. referendum, oh, first of all, your question, Luke, because I don't want to divert you.
You could finish up on the referendum, yeah.
Just looking back to the referendum here, when you look at, because the easy answer might be, well, just put an addition on. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, just blow out a few walls and just do this here and do that. Sometimes that's not the most economically feasible, but there's other issues beyond that, right? When you try to create some of these addition sort of things.
Right. So the state recommendation for how big acreage should be for a school location, an elementary school the size of Hillcrest is recommended to be on 14 acres. A high school like ours is recommended to be on 65 to 80 acres. We have 23 acres
right
now.
I'm going to say, wait a minute,
yeah.
That's a lot of, wow.
Yeah, in order to have green space for fire.
Sure, of course.
And athletic fields.
Well, that makes
Chippewa
sense.
Falls, our athletic fields, except for DeRay mm-hmm. and the soccer field, aren't on our campus. So
that's true.
That's where we make up for some of that space. So what we did is we looked at three different options of what would happen, what would it take to add on the space that we need on our current campus. And what we found is it created more problems than solutions. So it took away the Hillcrest Playground, which we didn't think was probably a great choice. It took away the green space for Phi Ed. It took away athletic fields. It essentially filled in that block. It took away parking. So it created new problems more than solving. And when we costed it out, it cost $65 million to build on those additions, where we are able to build a new high school for $82 million. Now, that's still savings. That is still savings. I don't want to downplay that savings. But we would have been investing a lot of taxpayer dollars for something that wouldn't have met our needs.
When you talk about green space, mm-hmm. some people have some misgivings about that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some people that will say, listen, we learned how to play in a broom closet back at the school. We were back on a little patch of asphalt and gravel, and it didn't matter to us. I played, kickball and four square out there, and I lived through it. That's not exactly the point. Hopefully you're trying to develop something that is good for all to use.
Right. And
safe.
And there are state standards for physical education minutes that we have to comply with. In addition to that, in 2014, when we did our community conversation, having a healthy mind, body, and spirit was one of the top themes that came out of it. So as we move forward with our work, we still need to be mindful of the values of our community. And we're also not just talking about green space just for things to look at, but to actually use for physical education and activities. When Chi High was built, they had two boys' sports. It was before Title IX. So the facility wasn't built to accommodate the activities that we have now.
I still contend to this day that if the situation were better at Burnside Elementary School in Red Wing, Minnesota, I'm just saying, I might have had a long career in Foursquare. I might have gotten much better at it. You would not find me on this radio program. I would be off probably touring the world.
Foursquare tournament.
As a professional, yeah. But we just did not have the accommodations there. To this day, I don't blame mm-hmm. the superintendent for that. No, I don't. I don't. We've moved on. Luke, your question.
Yeah, about DeRay Field. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a lot of people that will look at the relatively new turf, some of the relatively new seating there. I mean, it looks like a brand new stadium. If you didn't really know it, I'm sure a lot of people that live right around there know there's been a lot of renovations. So they're looking at that, going, okay, great. You just made one of the best high school facilities in Western Wisconsin, and now you want to move the high school. So is they're going to think, did we waste money on that? Are we going to build a new DeRay Field somewhere else? Mm-hmm. For those that are saying that, and that's maybe that might be a valid concern. What's the response on the home for the Chi High Cardinals and other athletics?
Great question. So the option that the board is looking at that includes a new high school does not include competitive fields outside of basketball. So DeRay football, the DeRay Field would still be the home of Cardinal football. It would still be the home of soccer, where the varsity softball and baseball is played. We would still be using Casper Park. The pool is still at the middle school. The fields that would be built on the new location would be practice fields and fields that could be used for Phi Ed. So a softball field with dugouts and a chain link fence, but not a press box, not a scoreboard. Maybe in the future we could make those improvements, but they would have practice level fields. The varsity fields would stay where they are.
Here in Eau Claire, of course, we have Carson Park, and so mm-hmm. North Memorial and Regis play a bulk of their games, mm-hmm. although there's some soccer that's played on the fields at the schools. And going back, I hate to keep using this Red Wing example, but DeRay Field is an interesting thing. See, I grew up with a different scenario. We always played at the Red Wing Athletic Field. Mm-hmm. So we never had an on-campus field. We always went somewhere else mm-hmm. for the football games and the baseball games mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing. So it's not uncommon. It's how you would still position that area out there to still be amenable to it being a stadium, it being a place to go for games mm-hmm. and all of that, if the high school weren't there.
Yeah, if there's any pushback on, right now we have the convenience of the stadium is right literally feet from the high school, is that something where you might, looking at the options of where the high school is that one of those where you make give more trade-offs in some capacity if the high school's on the southeast side, as opposed to the talk of building it right near the middle school where then it's just a few blocks away.
Exactly. That is a big part of that conversation. If we get to a point where we would be looking at a location, that's one thing we'll ask the community for feedback on, because there are trade-offs. You get more space and better access if you move away from the West Hill. But again, that's a great point of some of the benefits of being on the West Hill.
Mm-hmm. Part of this conversation has not included, I don't believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, vacating that property.
Correct.
Yeah, because one of the concerns might be, it's not as if DeRay Field exists and all of a sudden the school district says, hey, tell you what, we're moving out of there and a plastics company is moving in. No, that's not going to happen. For one, it wouldn't be zoned properly. Or a housing development or something. It's going to be school property. It's just a matter of what schools exist there in the future. It's 8:43. We're going to take a quick break. I know you're calling here. We'll get back to you with the Wisconsin Credit Union Hotline. I'm going to let this big voice guy tell you more. It's 8:45 here at 105.1 WAYY. Thanks for joining us here. And Tim is with us here. Let's catch up with Tim. Good morning, Tim. You're on with Heidi Taylor Aliopoulos, the superintendent of schools in Chippewa Falls.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, you know, she has one of the hardest jobs here. Anytime you involve raising taxes for education, it's a hard sell to the public. But we are so lucky to have Dr. Aliopoulos as our superintendent. She has been a breath of fresh air, always pushing forward for the betterment of the school and the district, looking at the future. She's one of us. She, you know, went to school here, graduated here. In working with her, she's always had a "we can do this" attitude, always been able to find common ground for different opinions on things. I just wanted to say how lucky the Chippewa Falls School District is to get someone like Dr. Aliopoulos to head this up, to have the forward thinking, and to go forward.
Thank you so much. That means a great deal to me.
And thanks for your comments, Tim. We appreciate that. That goes back to my earlier statement of you could be a pussycat, too. You don't have to be the bulldog all the time. You can say, hey, something good is going on here. And that's, we haven't got a chance to touch on this, and this was an issue from a little while back. I think this was in June when it was first discussed and brought up, this switch to the block schedule. Mm-hmm. Have you had some pushback on that, or how has that been, the thoughts of that?
We haven't. We've gotten a lot of support on it. Education is changing. Teaching and learning looks different than it did when we were in school. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the constructs of our current education, or I should say our traditional education system, were developed in the 1890s by what was called the Committee of Ten. So 10 men educational leaders at the time, they got together and they decided, well, you know what, biology should be taught in 10th grade and physics should be taught in 11th grade. And we haven't changed a lot since then. But we're learning that some of these traditional approaches aren't necessarily preparing people to be successful in life or in the job market. So we're changing. And in order to do that, we need to change aspects of our system, not just aspects of instruction. So having more time and arranging our day differently is going to allow us to dig deeper, do more hands-on learning activities, and we're excited about that.
All right. Yeah, you're right. The model, the educational model changes. And that's difficult when you're presenting to parents, grandparents, taxpayers who, frankly, have not been in that model for a while. Some of us are further. Next year, I will have my 40th class reunion. And so to that degree, we get a little far. You know, Bob gets the opportunity. I get the opportunity. Sometimes Luke does a little bit to go to schools and to meet with some of the classes and do all of that. And it is interesting how learning is being conducted. It's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's there's some people that look at it and don't like the way things have progressed. There's others that have been saying, well, we probably should have been doing this about 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're finally getting around to it. We're getting to all of that. We're going to take another quick break, come back with more here. The Wisconsin Credit Union hotline is open at 715-836-9299. If you got more referendum questions, we can definitely bring that up, although not that we won't have her on again before the referendum, because I'm sure we will. But, you know, you can ask them now. 715-836-9299. And just a reminder, I want you to get this on your calendars because we're pretty excited about it. It's back. Back to school bucks and books. We're adding a book drive to this as well because reading is so important, especially at the young ages. Working with Literacy Chippewa Valley, working with the United Way, I've picked up a lot of very valuable information about how important it is to start our kids reading early and reading to them. And engaging with books and all of that. So August 11th will be at Chilson Subaru, 6 to 10 a.m. Luke's going to be helping out back here at Auction Central. I hope you got your track sneakers on that day.
Yeah.
Because the auction items are pouring in here like you wouldn't believe. We got stuff from the Eau Claire Express and from the Cavaliers and from the Blue Golds, from Silver Spring Foods, from Icon Cinemas. The list goes on and on. We're going to have some autographed books. We're going to have some specialty items. So get ready for it. August 11th. Back to school bucks and books this year here on 105.1 WYYY. Programming note for tomorrow. Marty will be here. Bob will be here. I'll be here early on. And then Luke and I are going to scoot out. And we're going to get down to...
Milwaukee.
Yes.
Algonquin for the good land.
That's... Thank you.
If you know the reference, you get it.
Okay. Wow.
There's a movie reference in there.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Alice Cooper.
We're going down to Affiliates Day with the for Bill Michaels. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch the Brewers and get down to Miller Park. And Bob reminds me, I'm like getting all worried about the rain. He's like, they got a roof, John.
Yeah.
Unlike Minnesota, they got a roof.
Right.
They got a roof.
Okay, if Bob wants a roof on Target Field, then pay for it yourself,
exactly.
Okay? You can call it the Bosold Roof at Target
exactly.
Field. Have this big honking photo of Bob on the top
exactly.
pointing at you like, yep.
Yep.
Just like the one in our lobby.
Yes,
you could be all over
it.
That.
Yes.
I do actually have a question relating to the concern from Memorial High School in particular. We heard about this back in May about the choir department there. And having the students going to the Eau Claire School Board saying, we need another choir director. We're down to one. And this hits me hard because I was a hardcore choir member at Memorial High School. I remember back when we had three show choirs, now it's been cut to two. And that for the first month of this last school year, they didn't have anyone for one of their show choirs. They eventually had to bring someone else in just to cover for that. And at the Pops concert, they were talking about it a lot there. What is the funding/logistical situation in the Chippewa Falls School District? Is there a possibility that Chippewa Falls High School, maybe the middle school, not just choir, but the music programs overall and similar programs are going to have to deal with similar cuts? What's the financial and logistical situation there?
Yeah, we haven't had conversations about cutting staff in our music program. Music is something we do very well in Chippewa Falls, and our issue is space. So we have an extremely strong orchestra program, as an example. A middle school orchestra class can have 65 students in it.
Wow. That
when
takes
our,
space.
I've
taught that one before.
Yes.
If it's the same as like 2001-02, it's big
kids.
Up there.
Yeah. And when students get to the high school, we don't have an orchestra room. We have a band room. We have a choir room. When the building was built, we didn't have orchestra, or even when I went through in the 90s, orchestra was very small. Orchestra is huge in Chippewa Falls. So what we're seeing with our logistical problems in Chippewa Falls specific to music is space. So we have to conduct classes on the auditorium stage. The band directors and the orchestra director have to reset the room between classes if they're sharing a space because the rooms are set up very differently.
When you talk about the group of 10, and this comes to extracurricular activities when you really think about it, and an activities director, that really talks about the evolution of what has happened with regard to education, with regard to everything that's involved, the activities involved, and what needs, what's required to be done as well. For instance, if you look at some of these things, back at our gym, it used to double as an auditorium and a gymnasium. Because frankly, you had boys basketball, and then maybe you had, later on in the waning years, we finally had girls volleyball and girls basketball. But scheduling, that activities director thing, before you were able to take that kind of athletic director model and say, yeah, I got to schedule some wrestling and some basketball and some football. That's what I got. And maybe a little track and field. Maybe we got baseball, maybe we don't. I'm not saying that the job wasn't tough, but it has increased greatly as to just management of space and staff and everything.
Absolutely. So as an example, when I was doing an information session at Hillcrest, I talked to a gentleman whose wife was part of one of the first graduating classes, and he said, Heidi, the reason why you don't have enough space for your activities is because when Chi High was built, we had two sports. We had football and we had basketball for boys, and that's what we had. And so we've tried to repurpose space as activities have grown exponentially. There is truly something for everyone. If you want to get involved in something, we have something for you.
And that goes down to the elementary schools.
Yes.
You know, that's much more advanced than it ever was, which is a good thing. Our kids are getting active. They're getting more physical. They're getting involved in things. You know, a lot of times you might have thought, you know, well, we had a jungle gym and a swing set and a couple of other things and a couple of four square places and basketball hoops, and we called that good. And now, even at the elementary school, you need the space for these activities so they can play soccer, because they're playing soccer at a younger age, all of that.
And not just school activities, but our facilities are used by our community.
Yes.
And youth sports have exploded in many communities, including ours. So people who are involved in community activities in our community will tell you we don't have enough gym space for all of them. And there's frustration because they try to check out or rent for free, use our gym space, and we have to deny some requests because there's simply not enough room for all the programs that we have in Chippewa Falls. It's a good, bad problem.
That is a whole nother topic we can talk about someday, and that is maybe the next time you're on to talk about schools as a community asset.
Yes.
As a, you know, that schools are not just for education, not just for children.
Yes.
They're for the community. And all the different things that go on within a community. Sometimes they, especially in some of the smaller communities, you know why they fight so hard for their schools? Because if they lose their school, they lose their identity and they lose their community space.
Mm-hmm.
That's their community space. That's where the fundraisers go on for the Lions Club and everything else to make things happen. If you don't have that school, you don't have much. Heidi, as always, we always run short of time because we could talk about a million educational things. We'll post this for you at WYYYradio.com. We also will have a portion of this on our Newsmakers program coming up over the weekend as well on our Midwest Family broadcast stations. Luke, thank you so much. Luke, Luke's going to take a break here for about 5 minutes.
Then we keep talking.
Yeah, and then you get right back to it. Luke and the captain coming up. What you got?
Training camp.
Oh, yes.
And the Dan Casper Chance Dickman experience with Jake Owen.
Oh, we got to do the yes.
Going to find out how close they got to being
Friday
on stage, which
is
like they were on stage.
They weren't
duetting, but they were up there.
Them.
Yeah,
you saw them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chance made a little more of a spectacle of himself than Dan did.
One word
of him:
jorts.
That's. Oh, they've got that coming up. Luke and the Captain on 105.1 WAYY. Thanks for joining us.